Does the discipline and dedication required to serve in our nation's armed forces really have anything in common with the discipline and dedication required to become a skilled classical musician? Well, all of the kids on today's show would say absolutely yes. From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the energy of America's kids and the power of classical music. We're at the Palace Theater in Grapevine, Texas, and today we're presenting performances by young people who've grown up in America's proud military families. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. Here's our host, the great concert pianist, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thank you, and welcome, everybody. Special thanks to the Military Child Education Coalition for inviting us to perform as part of their annual national training seminar here in Grapevine, Texas, just northwest of Dallas. The Military Child Education Coalition, MCEC, works to make sure that the kids of our servicemen and women, kids who live with the mobility, separation, and transitions that are part of military life, have access to a quality education and other support services. Our live audience today is full of the people who teach the more than 1 million school-aged military kids all around the world, as well as family support personnel and counselors, all people dedicated to helping military families. But as you'll hear from the young people on today's show, growing up in the military isn't all tough sledding. The military life offers worldwide experiences, a tight community, lessons in commitment not always so present in the civilian world, and a way to cultivate some serious music making, as the young pianist on stage with me can now attest. Please welcome, from Yorktown, Virginia, 16-year-old pianist William Hume. William, before we chat about your family's military connections, which are quite extensive, why don't you connect us to some great music? What will you be playing for us today?
Yes, sir. I'm playing a Brahms Rhapsody, Opus 79, number 1. It's the first of two rhapsodies that Brahms wrote in 1879.
When you're ready, please take it from the top.
Thank you.
William Hume, 16-year-old pianist from Yorktown, Virginia, performing the Rhapsody in D minor, Opus 79, number 1, by Johannes Brahms. William, here you are, 6'2", and I understand you. Yeah, let me see your hands here. My God, he can reach a 12th. Just, you make the Steinway look like a toy piano, but you make it sound like a magnificent orchestra.
Thank you.
Really nicely done there. William, your family is a military family with a capital M. I mean, everybody's involved, and they all happen to be here in our audience today. That's support. Hume family, are you out there? Stand up. Oh my gosh, here they are. William, will you please introduce your family and tell us their connections to the military? And why don't you start with your dad?
Yes, sir. This is my father, Robert Hume. He's a colonel in the Army, and he was recently stationed to Fort Eustis, and we now live in Yorktown, Virginia. So.
That's right. Colonel, I hear I can call you Bob.
Bob would be great, Chris. Thank you.
It's an honor, sir. Bob, you've served in a couple of dangerous places over the years, right? Where have you been?
Fairly recently in Afghanistan and in the past Bosnia.
William, you've got a great story about connecting with your dad about 6 months into his latest Afghanistan tour.
Yes, sir. We had heard that my dad was going to be doing a chain of meetings in Washington, D.C., and we had actually, my mom was chaperoning. We were taking our eighth grade field trip down to Washington, D.C., so we got to call my dad just a few days before, and we realized that our paths might actually cross. So we were our bus was loading. Actually, we were getting ready to leave. My class had spent most of the day. It was towards the afternoon, but we knew that he was somewhere near us, just a few blocks away. So we asked our bus driver just to hold on for about 10 minutes. And my mom and I actually, everyone else was on the bus, but my mom and I actually started walking down the sidewalk, and sure enough, almost as if the crowd on the sidewalk started to part, and sure enough, we saw my dad walking towards us. So we got to spend about 10 minutes with him. So it was a very nice time.
Now, Colonel Bob gave the excuse that he was accompanying General McChrystal on a trip to report to Congress, but of course, he just knew he wanted to make a rendezvous with his family. Isn't that true?
Yes, a staff of us were in D.C. with General McChrystal.
Wow.
And it was actually about a two-block run to make sure I got it to the bus before they departed.
It
was great.
Bob, how did you start your military career?
The military tradition is in my family. My grandfather served in World War I and World War II, just a farmer from Oklahoma. And then his son, my father, really inspired me to serve. He joined the Oklahoma Guard when he was 17 and served for 35 years. And then I decided I wanted to serve, but instead of going to the Guard, I went to West Point.
Mm-hmm. Next, William, please introduce us to these other two young gentlemen standing next to your dad.
Yes, this is my older brother, Robbie. He's 18, and he recently, just a couple months ago, he finished his first year at the United States Military Academy at West Point. So, mm-hmm.
We're glad. So there's one. That looks like your younger brother.
Yes. That's Steven. He's 13 years old, and he'll be an eighth grader at the middle school in the fall. So.
Robbie, William told us also that you graduated valedictorian from your high school last year. Congratulations. And now you're at West Point, first year. And so do you see yourself having a long military career like your dad?
Well, graduating from West Point entails at least 5 years afterwards serving on active duty in the Army. But after that, I'm not sure. I could keep going, like my dad and his dad and his dad,
yeah.
Or I could do something different, but
right.
I'm not sure yet.
So dad attended West Point, Robbie attends West Point. Steven, you're only 13. What about you? What's your plan?
Well, I want to go to West Point too. It feels like a family tradition now, knowing that my dad has been there and my brother's currently going there. And I know that it would give me a good education opportunity and it would be a nice school to attend.
You bet. And last but not least, William, please introduce us to your mom.
Yes, this is my mother, Laura Hume. She's actually a former Army nurse, so she...
Yes. And as she looks quite elegant and lovely this evening, you've told me that there are some family photographs of your mom that are quite disconcerting.
We'd be looking through the our album, and sure enough, there is my mom with the helmet on and the holding a gun. So you never expected that, but
so. That'll get your homework done.
Yes. Exactly.
And let me guess, Laura, you're a graduate of West Point?
No, I'm not. But actually, my husband and I got married at the Cadet Chapel there.
Oh, close call. Almost didn't have a West Point connection. So, William, it would seem that West Point is an absolute inevitability for you.
Yes, again. It does. But I really found my interest in piano, and I will not be attending the academy. So, I'd like to go to a conservatory and possibly maybe the New England Conservatory.
There you go.
Prestigious.
Well, the armed services may miss you, but the hand services,
yes,
we can use you.
Yes,
Mom, Dad, Robbie, Stephen, what the heck happened here? He's not going to West Point.
Well, he could never go to West Point. He just doesn't have the upper body strength to carry to carry a piano around the parade field.
Nicely said there, Stephen. William, great having you on. Great
thank
meeting
you,
your
sir.
Family. And thank you all for your service. And thank you for being here. Best
thank
of luck
sir.
To you.
I appreciate it.
William Hume, 16 years old from Yorktown, Virginia.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.org. Over the last 5 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded well over $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Our second performer of the day in this special program featuring talented classical musicians who come from military families is Devin Naftsker. Devin is out on stage ready to snap us to attention with a totally arresting performance on the viola. Devin, tell everyone how old you are and where you live.
Sure. I'm 18 years old, and I'm from a small town north of Chicago called Lincolnshire, Illinois.
And you're turning the tables on the violinists of the world by taking one of the most revered pieces in their repertory and playing it on the viola. What are we playing together?
We will be playing Preludium and Allegro by Kreisler. And yes, it was originally written for violin, but as a violist, one of my favorite things is to steal their repertoire. So enjoy.
All right. Thank you. Devin Nafsker, 18-year-old violist from Lincolnshire, Illinois, performing Fritz Kreisler's Preludium and Allegro. Really love that piece, particularly with the deep and wonderful burnished tone you get on the viola. Very nicely done there, Devin. Like all the kids on today's show, you come from a military family. In your case, your dad served for 11 years in the Air Force. Did your aptitude for music come from him?
Well, he has a great voice for singing in the shower, but not so much for anything else musically. But my mom is actually a kinder music teacher, and she's a singer, so I think that's where my musical blood comes from.
So maybe your dad's musical genes didn't come into play, but you said that dad's military discipline has made a big contribution to your musical development.
Yes, definitely. Actually, my friends joke with me all the time. They say, Devin, your dad is just so strict. He should really let you out of the house more often. You're always just working and practicing. But the way I see it, he's taught me a lot of valuable lessons. He's known for saying things like, get your work done first, and then maybe you can have some fun. And things like, no whining ever in this household. We never were allowed to whine. And he's just taught me a lot about respect and veneration for our servicemen and women. And I think that growing up in a household where I was taught discipline and hard work early on, that really translated into my musical life well, because I always had to get my practicing done before going out and having fun. So.
Right.
It's been nice.
Focus and discipline has obviously paid off. Your dad had a sort of a homeschooling moment with you. You wanted to have some more time to practice.
Yeah, definitely. When I was going into high school, it was my second year actually, and I had lots of homework. I go to a really intense academic high school where I had about 5 hours of homework a night, even more usually. And I was really struggling finding time to practice. And since music mattered so much to me, I was feeling a lot of pressure to focus more on it. And I thought homeschooling might be a good option. And so did a few of my teachers and mentors and things. So I asked my parents if I could be homeschooled, and my dad basically scoffed and said, absolutely not. He just put his foot down and said, Devin, you need to go to school. You need to be a normal kid, learn how to communicate, and go be with your friends, and learn in an environment where everyone else is doing the same. And I don't want you to just become a narrow-minded, insular musician who just stays in a practice room her whole life. So I really thank him for that. That was a good decision.
Well, that sense of being well-rounded made your recent decision about college very, very difficult, I understand.
It was a really tough year deciding which college to attend, because ever since I was a little girl, Juilliard had always been my dream. And with my audition coming up this year, I worked really, really hard. And just between you and me, Chris, and now the rest of America, I hate practicing. I just do not like it. I will find any excuse not to practice. But with Juilliard coming up, I found it to be a really good motivator, and I worked really hard for that audition. Mm-hmm. So when I got in, I thought the logical thing would be to go to Juilliard, mm-hmm. but I was accepted to Princeton and Columbia and some other academically awesome schools. Yeah. So I actually decided in the end to go to Princeton, and I could not be happier with my decision. And
great decision.
Thank you.
No, they've got a lot of great music there at Princeton. It's a beautiful place to go to school, and my gosh, with all this academic background, you know, you'll be such a great addition to them, Devin.
Thank you.
We'll look forward to hearing more from you.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Devin.
Thank you for having me.
Congratulations. Thank you. Devin Nafsker, 18 years old from Lincolnshire, Illinois. Devin is a student of Desiree Rustrat at the Music Institute of Chicago. We're performing today at the Military Child Education Coalition's annual seminar, so we're presenting performances by young people who've grown up in military families. Given the importance of supporting our military families, it's not surprising that some high-ranking brass is here in town. But a few hours ago, I got to speak with the highest-ranking military officer in the United States, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Martin E. Dempsey. General Dempsey, it's such an honor to be with you, and thank you for joining us. Apparently, your musical proclivities are quite well known among our men and women in the service. But those of us without security clearance, I'm not sure, really knew. The greater public is not aware that you've got quite a nice tenor voice. Well, did you grow up in music?
I love music, and I did grow up with it. I'm not sure I would describe what I do with music to be a proclivity, though, because, you know, some people enjoy it, some don't. Now that I'm the chairman, though, they have no choice, and I actually like that a lot. But I grew up in an Irish-American family, and my grandmother, from the time I can remember, exposed me to Irish music as her way of connecting me to my roots.
Wow. So music in the neighborhood, music in the family?
Music constantly.
What sort of role does music play in your life these days?
Well, other than the occasion that I might use it to kind of decompress at the end of the day or while traveling, I mean, that's certainly part of it. When I commanded at various levels, you know, we always had a band, and I'm a huge advocate of in my case, Army bands, but service bands, because they capture the soul of the organization in a way that no other particular part of the organization could capture. And then I also use it personally to connect with audiences, you know. I'll give a speech, and I always think I'm very profound and meaningful and that everybody's going to remember what I say, but I always end it with a song by way of letting people know that I feel pretty good about my job, about the armed forces, about our country, and they should too.
Well, I'm just so curious to hear you sing, General.
Yeah.
Apparently, you brought along your iPod, and I think we've got a backing track. Would you mind consider crooning a few bars for us?
You know, I didn't think you'd ever ask. This is my kind of town. Chicago is my kind of town. Chicago is.
Kind of a hard act to follow, Clarissa, isn't it?
Yes.
This is our next young performer, 17-year-old harpist Clarissa McLaren. Clarissa, before you introduce your piece, I just want to say to our audience that we have great video of General Dempsey singing and meeting all our kids up at our site at fromthetop.org. Okay, so Clarissa, tell everyone what you're going to play for us.
I will be playing Impromptu Caprice by Gabrielle Pierney. Thank you.
Larissa McLaren, 17-year-old harpist, playing the impromptu caprice by Gabriel Pierney. Larissa, that was so quicksilver beautiful. That was just splendid. Let's get some facts straight now, Clarissa. When pressed, you'll say that your permanent address is Provo, Utah, but you haven't lived there, gosh, since you were about 4 years old. Where are you living now?
I live in Belgium. I live off post for the Supreme Headquarters Allied Powers Europe.
Wow.
Shape. It's much easier.
Oh, okay. I love those acronyms all the time. Much better. And your dad, what does he do?
He is in the Air Force Reserves, and he works as the Chief of International Law for the Army in Belgium.
And where has he been deployed?
Kyrgyzstan and Bosnia.
Wow. And your brother is in training to be a pilot, so you know the whole military experience. But I want to talk to you about you. You wrote to us saying that you're a person who stands out no matter where you are. Why is that?
I inevitably stand out wherever I go. I am one of the few members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in my high school, or commonly known as Mormons. And obviously, that means that I don't do things the same way. I don't swear or go to parties where there are alcohol. But then when I come to the United States, I stand out as someone who is obviously not as American as I should be, I suppose. Just because I have grown up mostly in Europe, and my dad's from Glasgow, Scotland, so I'm only half American anyway.
That's a great place to be from. I like Glasgow a lot. You also say that you're comfortable with being different.
Yes, when I realized that it was just a part of my life, I embraced it. I like standing out. I tried out different things, just wearing ridiculous outfits, you know, neon tights and stripy shirts. I just like things that are a little more unique, and there are just a lot of different ways that I stand out, so I'm quite comfortable with it.
And your friends just say, that's just Clarissa, that's just the way she is.
Yes, that's a common line that I hear, you know, when I'm dancing down the hallways, it's, oh, it's Clarissa.
Well, this doesn't make you weird, but I guess it's another way in which you stand out. Certainly you're a monster debate person.
I'd like to think so.
Gosh, so you've done Model UN, I guess you've done Model US Senate, too? Do you do some filibusters in the Senate? No.
No.
You actually do debating. So what do you like better, making the case for things you agree with or things you don't agree with?
It's more challenging and more fun to make the case for things that I don't agree with. For example, there was a woman in combat bill, and I had to say a lot of things about women and their abilities that I didn't agree with, and, you know, going on about how it would tear the moral fabric of our nation apart. And I like to paint a picture when I'm speaking, and I definitely go for the emotions a lot. I step into a zone that's not so much me. I like public speaking, and I realized that it was something that I could be good at without really trying. Mm-hmm. Persuasion is just a gift that I have when I'm in the right mindset.
That's good. Well, and I think probably the pink neon tights go a long way to intimidating your opponents.
Obviously, you know, when you slip into a pencil skirt and high heels, there's something else that comes along with that when you get up behind a podium.